Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day, and we ask as we come to your word that your Holy Spirit would be our guide, our teacher. We would have quiet hearts. We would have confessed any sin and allowed you to come in your forgiveness and your cleansing to prepare us to hear your words, that you would just all the crud that you would remove so that we would have good receivers, that we might hear what God might say to us today. We praise you for that in Jesus' name, amen. What happens when we walk by the Spirit? What happens when we walk by the Spirit? First, we might ask, what does walking by the Spirit mean? Does it mean checking all the boxes on our list of what we think it means to be a good Christian person? If so, let me get us started with a couple of lists. If we're into checking boxes on the lists. First, list number one, the religious service list. Attend church, be active in church, teach Sunday school, play the piano, take up the offering, be a board member, be a greeter, get baptized, tithe, lead songs, visit at the nursing home, sing in the choir, pray, preach, witness to others about our faith. That's the list, the religious service list, and you might probably could add some things to that. List number two is a religious attitude list. And be nice, be friendly, be caring, be courteous, be respectful, be diplomatic, be progressive, etc. But see, there's a problem using these lists, because a person can accomplish all the things on both lists without God. Don't have to walk by the Spirit. Every single thing on those lists you can do without God, without even knowing Jesus Christ. So it wouldn't be a very good source to go to, would it? We can perform all the religious services and embrace all the religious attitudes and not even know God, much less do the work of God in our lives. Do you know that you can't produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life? How does this happen? How does it happen that the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our lives when we walk by the Spirit? Christianity, walking by the Spirit, is not about making ourselves better with God's blessing. That happens a bit, I think. We think, well, Christianity is about, I'm going to make myself better with God's blessing. I'm going to try real hard and put a lot of effort into this thing. No, Christianity is about us bowing before God in complete dependence on Him while He works in our lives and produces His fruit. God calls us to live in His world. But even in that, we humans rebel, as we have always rebelled since Adam and Eve. We want to negotiate the terms. We want Him to come into our world. The world according to me. The world according to how I think things should be. The world in which if God would do this and if God would do that, then I would have significance and be happy and fulfilled if only God would do these things on my list. But God calls us away from our silly, foolish notions to His way and His wisdom and His world. And when the light bulb comes on and a person finally gives in and decides that God is God and bows before Him as God in complete surrender and glorifies God as God and gives Him thanks, then that person steps into newness of life and lives in the kingdom of God. That person, we will see this morning, learns, or at least begins to learn, about the love and power of the sovereign Lord of the universe. The Lord God, the Almighty, who abundantly provides care and direction and stability and peace and security that this world cannot touch. That person discovers where joy is. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So what happens when we walk by the Spirit? You will find your joy in the presence of the Lord. Walking by the Spirit, we engage our world from a new base of operation we have in Jesus Christ. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Galatians 5:13? 5:13. If you have a study sheet, you have this on here. And never mind. I was going to see if anybody needed the study sheet. Did everybody get one of these? Because if you got these, then you're good to go. Okay. This is going to be a little bit of review too. We've been away for the holidays, and by the way, I don't know how many people I heard just so thankful for the holiday services and the people that took part and all the work that was put in to that. Those things are very, very encouraging to hear, from the breakfast to the sunrise service to the every service. People seemed to be strengthened and encouraged, but we have been away for a little bit. So we're going to review somewhat, but it's not just that. It's just that Galatians, just there's just so much there that it just keeps coming out. It just keeps presenting itself. And I thought, well, why be in a hurry? Because we've already talked about this when there's this much more. Because we've talked about this concept of our opportunity. We've talked about the concept of our opportunity, that word aphorme. It's a place from which a movement or attack is made, a base of operations, that which gives occasion and supplies matter for an undertaking, the incentive, the resources we avail ourselves of in attempting or performing anything. But the main point there is that word operation. We have a new base of operation. We are in Christ. We have been set free from our sins in Christ. We are now under grace and no longer under the law. We have God's world before us. Now, Paul writes to us, he says, don't use this opportunity to just satisfy what you think you want, which is what is an opportunity for the flesh. We'll spell that out as we go along. We'll see how much better it is to understanding what God delights in. So, first, we see the Spirit directs and defines our world. In Galatians 5:25, we're going to start later and then we're going to come back. But in Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, then let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit directs and defines our world. What does this mean? Walking by the Spirit means we live by the Spirit, means we keep in step by the Spirit. This means that we live as people who have been freed and are being transformed. See, these things, sometimes the things that are so basic, they're just so plain on the page, are the things that we miss, but it's truly where the blessing of God is. So we can ask ourselves, are we living as someone who has been freed from our sins? And are we living as a person who is being transformed by God Himself? This also means that we live in a world that is directed and defined by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. See, our world, our perspective is completely different. Now, we do have a song, it's like a praise hymn, "This is my Father's world," or "This is our Father's world." Well, it is, but you can walk in darkness and not understand that, not even know Christ, but you can also know Christ, and we're so much about our own direction, agendas, whatever we want to call it, our human effort, and if I can make this happen, I will be happy and fulfilled and significant, that we don't realize that we are walking in the world of God, in His realm, in His care. We've talked about this before, but it happens, you know, just over and over again. The meals that God gives us, with acknowledging, you sit down, we're going to sit down to a good Sunday dinner here a little bit later. Well, God provided that. I know it's cold, but we have warm homes. God provided that. The acknowledgement of his provision. But it's directed, it's defined by the Spirit of God, but by the Word of God. Sometimes we think, well, walking by the Spirit, and now that gives me like more elbow room or more wiggle room. So now I can do what I want, and I'll say, oh, you know what? The Spirit told me to do this. Be careful with that. The Spirit does put things on our hearts. Yes, he does. But be careful that it's not us putting it there, because it's something we want to do and saying that the Spirit called us to do this. It's always will be in complete unity and harmony with the Word of God. If it's outside of that, it is not the Spirit. It might be a Spirit speaking to you, but it will not be the Holy Spirit of God. We live in a world that's directed and defined by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. This means that the Holy Spirit is now our ethical and moral guide. Well, what does this mean in relation to our Galatians study? Well, you know that Paul has been going back and forth with a group who said they trusted in Christ, but they also still felt like they had to work. They had to earn certain things. They put themselves under the law. They had to do certain things to be accepted of God and to remain accepted by God, because they just couldn't let their minds and say, well, this grace thing, what's going to be our moral guide? Well, it is still Scripture, but it is Scripture as the Holy Spirit is directing us and teaching us. It's the issue. Well, let me just add, what does it mean then that the Spirit is now our ethical and moral guide? That's the issue. The Spirit is our ethical and moral guide, that the Spirit of God will teach us and direct us by the Word of God. The leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit will never be apart from or contrary to the Word of God. I think it's R.C. Sproul shares this. Ultimately, the science of ethics is concerned with what is right, and morality is concerned with what is accepted. Now, what you will find if you try to define ethics and morality, you will find them used interchangeably, and you'll see our scholars saying, probably go to Wikipedia, and we were having a little fun with Wikipedia in Sunday school, and say that these things are used interchangeably, but there are distinguishing parts. So let me back up. Ultimately, the science of ethics is concerned with what is right, and morality is concerned with what is accepted. You see the difference? Because what is accepted, as we can see in our country, can be far from what is right. In most societies, when something is accepted, it is judged to be right. But see, we have an eternal forever word that tells us what is right, no matter what culture, no matter what time period that we live in. So we have a rock solid standard. But oftentimes, this provokes a crisis for the Christian when the normal becomes the normative, when what is becomes what ought to be. We may, as Christians, find ourselves swimming hard against the current. And we have our social issues that we're dealing with now in our country, that it's not what is right, but it is what is. And so now, by popular opinion, people are saying this is what is right, and you're a bad guy if you disagree. A long quote, but bear with me. I think it'll be helpful to us. The Judaizers, this is Scott McKnight. The Judaizers, we suspect, claim that the Galatian converts needed to adopt the whole law to be accepted by God. In so doing, they would express their trust in the entirety of God's revelation and provide themselves with an adequate moral guide, the law. And what they were saying here is that everything still needed to be accepted, that there wasn't a change between Old Covenant, New Covenant, Old Testament, New Testament. And they said to be as spiritual as we can be, we have to embrace everything. And they found their security in the rules and the regulations. Another man continues that with no law to distinguish from right and wrong and no rituals to deal with transgressions and provide assurance, their security and self-confidence were somewhat shaky. Another man says here, he says, we see something fundamentally important here as to how Paul depicts the Christian life. It is life. It is life in the Spirit, the life of a person who has surrendered to letting the Spirit have complete control. The Galatian converts were insecure about their moral guidance and in particular how to fight off the flesh. The Judaizers, having been taught that the law of Moses is God's moral guide, contended that it would enable the Galatian converts to fight off the flesh. And what they were saying is you've got to follow the law. Yes, you can have Jesus too. Yes, you can have the Spirit too, but they would remain under the law. I won't continue in that, but what that Paul is telling us is that through the Holy Spirit now, that he will teach us. We never step aside from God's word. We use God's entire word, but we're not under that. Okay, this means that the Spirit will always direct us to live in obedience to God's word. But this is much more than a mere mechanical or habitual or routine obedience. David Benner, I'm sorry for all the quotes today, but this is good. David Benner tells us, God does not ask for resignation based on acquiescence in the absence of a better option, nor does God ask for reluctant, grudging submission. Okay, here comes the punchline. What God wants is surrender based on love and trust. And that's what it really all comes down to. We're going to, after the message today, I asked Liz if we could change the song. We're going to sing that, I Surrender All. And this is what this is about. In Galatians 5:16, Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul tells us that the Galatians, those that could not get out from under the law, they said, we got to hold to the law too. Paul is saying, walk by the Spirit, and you will defeat the natural desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Okay, hopefully now I have built a platform, and I know that was it got a little technical there, but just give it to create the setting for what comes next then, and that is the Spirit cares for us. The Spirit, walking by the Spirit will care for us and fulfill our deepest needs and desires. We get to this place when we understand what it actually means, this loving submission, full trust, and full surrender. Now it will start clicking. We no longer have to fend for ourselves. You're not out in this world alone. God is there with you. We are freed from a lifestyle in which we were left to ourselves to find joy and satisfaction. Think about it. Isn't that what we do in our world, whatever it is, whether it's a bit of technology? Do you think there was anyone you've heard of an iPhone 10? You know, maybe we've heard. Do you think there was anybody that they thought, if I can get an iPhone 10, what? I'm going to be happy now. I can go to the coffee shop and hold it up so other people see that I have an iPhone 10, and they'll say, that must be somebody right there that will give me some significance. Now, don't we do things like that? The guy that buys the big red four-wheel drive cool-looking truck, the kind that I probably couldn't even get in anymore. without a ladder or without help from three or four strong farmers to push me up into the, we have these things. Or if I had this house, then I would be happy. But none of those things work, do they? That they just don't. Now we can have joy in those, and we can have joy in our homes, but that can't be the ultimate direction of our hearts. But that's left to ourselves. That's what we do. Psalm 37:4 tells us, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, you know what the human interpretation of that is? Is do what God wants you to do and he'll give you what you want. You follow what I'm saying? Do what God wants you to do. And then I know there's some things, I've got some things on my joy list. I'll be happy if I get this, and I'll be happy if I get that, and I'll be happy if I get this, and I'll be happy if I get that. So I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and he's going to give me those things. I hope none of us here think that's what that text is talking about. You know, there's different studies that some of you maybe in college can remember, a name like Abraham Maslow and things like that, and the felt needs that we have. There are deep things that sometimes we don't even identify, that we might not even recognize things as far as significance and fulfillment, where true joy comes from, where actual peace is established. That's what this is talking about. We all have those desires. This text has nothing about, and I was actually approached. I wasn't living for the Lord by no stretch when I was 20 years old or so, and you know, these two young women where I worked, and this Bible study, and yeah, you know, if you just, you get things right with God, and you know, and I think they did mention Cadillac. I know we use Cadillac a lot, but I think they did. It was like, you know, and hey, you know, you get there and God will get that new Cadillac for you. No, this is talking about something, the very inner depths of our lives, when we delight ourselves in the Lord. Well, to delight ourselves in the Lord, we kind of have to know who he is, don't we? I mean, to delight ourselves in someone, don't we have to build up some love and trust? Can you see how the Holy Spirit, walking by the Spirit, being directed by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, all of these things? What's the specific one in our Galatians text? If you go back to the verse 13, it's that, you know, don't use the opportunity for your flesh, but through love serve one another. Specific opportunities that we have from our new base of operation, that we have been freed from our sins, because before we were not capable of doing this in the darkness of our sin, as we were lost, as we didn't even know God. Our pursuit of joy, of pure joy, significance, and fulfillment is no longer thwarted and misdirected by our natural desires. That's what I was just talking about. We think, you know, and you know, the iPhone 10 thing, you know, that's our natural understanding is clouding our vision. So we think, hey, if I get that iPhone 10, then I'm going to be happy. But because we're thwarted by our natural desires and we don't have a good compass, we get that, and there might be joy for a little bit, but not really true joy, is there? Because it depends on some circumstance or some event, or having a Republican in office, or, you know, not having a crazy man across the ocean with his finger on a nuclear weapon, or all of these things. But the things that God promises us are untouchable by this world. The person who walks by the Spirit begins to understand the love and the care and the power of the God who they are following and serving. And that person knows these things. Our pursuit of joy, significance, and fulfillment is no longer directed and defined by the constraints of the natural realm, by mere humans. Now, let me give you two very good examples. Peace. Example number one, peace. Christ gives us peace that is beyond the ability and beyond the comprehension of this world. Christ gives us peace that is beyond the comprehension of this world. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? But first, John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. What's his next statement? Not as the world gives. See, this is what happens when you walk by the Spirit. When you're not walking by the Spirit, if you don't know Christ, you're an unbeliever, or you know Christ and you're not walking in fellowship, you don't know these things. You're still trying to, you only have peace if you see the economic index is this or that, or if this is in place, or this person's not sick, or you don't have that pain in your chest, or whatever it might be. You can't see these things. But Jesus says, no, no, no. He says, the peace I give. See, for the person walking by the Spirit knows these things because we trust him. He says, the peace I give, it's not like the world gives. It's not. He said, it's not like that at all. Because the world gives peace, and then in an instant, it can be gone. Not like that at all. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. See, when you walk by the Spirit, you walk, you follow a God. You have bowed before him, surrendered to him, a God who will take the trouble away from your heart, a God who will take away your fear. Because what you begin understanding more and more is there is nothing that matters that's going to last past this earth that could make you fearful. And there are things, don't get me wrong, there are things that could make us fearful. But there are things, we put that in context then, and it's like God comes in and he takes away the trouble in our heart. Why is that? Because you're walking by the Spirit and you've built up this relationship with him. The Philippians 4:7, this peace is beyond the world's comprehension. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. See, all these things that would take away peace, these things that would bring the torment and the anguish of this world. Paul tells us in this text here, and we're not going to get into it, we're going to continue joy next week. But it was just the section begins with rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And don't worry about all these things, but by prayer, with supplication, bring everything to God. He said, and the peace that passes understanding. It surpasses all your understanding. He said, that will guard you. See, that's the care that someone receives who's walking by the Spirit. Because why is that? Because you know God. And you know he's great enough to do that. And you know him enough that you can trust his promises. Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The second example we have is protection. The second example we have is protection that God brings to those, that people who walk by the Spirit, they start catching on. They say, wow, this God that I serve is truly a great God, is truly a majestic God, a powerful God, loving, kind, holy, righteous. That's the kind of God. And it's the second example, protection. Our relationship with God in Christ, that's where you are, your position, if you've trusted Christ, you're in Christ, is beyond the reach of this world or any world or power to come. Our protection, we are untouchable by this world in what matters. Yes, someone could take our life, but they cannot touch our eternal standing in Jesus Christ. It's beyond the reach of this world or any world or power to come. In Christ, God is for us and has forged a bond of love that makes us first inseparable from God, makes us conquerors over any conceivable enemy. But see, you don't know these things if you're not walking by the Spirit because you haven't built up this trust. See, walking by the Spirit, obeying God's word, you begin oozing with trust for this God, magnificent, mighty God you're following. When he tells me that I'm conquerors over all these things, I believe him. I might not be able to understand it. I might not know why he would do something like that for me, except for just counting his mercy and his grace, but I believe him. We're ultimately untouchable from any separation or defeat, from any charge, from even any charge or condemnation brought against us. And you say, well, Dave, yeah, that's pretty high sounding. Where are you getting all of that? Well, I mean, you've got it in your notes. I'm going to read it. Let's just read that whole text in Romans 8:31-39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Okay, that's a pretty good question, because I said there was an inseparable bond, this love of God to us. So Paul's going to ask, who could separate us from this love, from this inseparable bond? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it has been written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. We're going through things on this earth. But is any of that separating us from the love of our God? Ain't no way. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Now see, if you're walking by the Spirit, if you're walking in obedience to God and His Word, and He's showing these, and they become this the reality of God and the reality of His truth and His power and His love and His kindness, the wisdom of His direction, the reality of all of these things just grows and grows and says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure, now He's going to talk about this conqueror's state. How long will it last? Or can it stand up against anything? I mean, maybe there's something, you know, somebody brings something from over here. Maybe that can defeat us. And well, Paul's going to pretty well cover it here. So let's read that. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. It's the kind of God we serve. You know that if you're walking by the Spirit of God. Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Clearly, the Bible describes our relationship in Christ as beyond the reach of anything in this world or beyond. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The third thing this morning, the Spirit produces His fruit in our lives. And see, this is if you're looking for things that we need to know, is the Spirit producing these things. Next week we will continue talking about the specific aspects of this fruit, and we will pick up with joy. But do we see those things in our lives, or is our love, our joy dependent on the circumstances and events of this world? Conclusion. So do you have the joy down in your heart? Do you have the joy down in your heart? If you don't, see, there's a problem. One of two problems. One, you don't know Christ. So it's not possible. So you need to believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and receive His gift of eternal life. But we have a lot of people who at least profess to know the Lord, but unless that big old frown and those disgusting sounds and looks that they give sometimes are really the, you know, we're just not culturally oriented with that, and that really means they're happy, but you know what I'm saying, they're not. Then we've got a problem, because even though the joy is there, the work of God is in our lives, something else is more dominant. Because see, it's not anything that we do, it's we walk by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. We are led then by the Spirit. And then we, in being led by the Spirit, being led by the Word of God through the Spirit, we keep in step with the Spirit. And in that process, the Spirit produces in our lives love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we're battling God in some way if that isn't there. Because the joy that He's talking about is not dependent on our circumstances. and walking by the Spirit, we understand these things. So what is your I will be happy if list? What's on your, state that a different way, what's on your I will be happy if this happens or occurs list? What's on, or I will have the joy down in my heart if. What set of circumstances would bring this joy to you? Or what can God do for you to bring this about? If God would do this for me, and I mean, we've probably done it. We could give ourselves a break and say, well, I know someone who did this. And so I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be really sincere for God, and I'm going to do all these things, and then God will do this for me. It isn't how it works, is it? It's just, it, see, that's our natural mind is thwarting our ability to comprehend what God is offering us, freely offering to us. It's like if I put all this human effort, if we went back to our list, you know, it's if I'm, all these things, the be nice, you know, oh, they're just, he's such a nice Christian man, she's such a wonderful, nice Christian woman. The criteria that we use that God doesn't use at all, because he can do all those things, not even know God. What might we need to do that God will bring this about for us? If these things are in place, then I'll be happy. I will do the things that God wants me to do. Then he will bring about the particular set of circumstances in my life that I have decided will bring me joy. Do what God wants, and he will give me what I want, right? We won't ask for a show of hands who's ever maybe been tempted with that. If you don't have joy, though, if you don't have joy, you don't know where joy is. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm really not, because it would be mean if what God tells us wasn't true and available and freely offered to all. If we don't have the joy of the Lord, we don't know where joy is. We think it's in that iPhone 10 or in that shiny new pickup. By the way, shiny new pickup, you know, that can bring a person joy for a while, can it? But, no, okay, get away from the silliness, Dave. You know what I'm talking about. But here, back to our Psalm 16:11. This is where it never moves away from here. You make known to me the path of life. You make known to me the path of life. What's that path of life? Well, when you're walking by the Spirit. When you're walking by the Spirit, what's your path? Is that when you get to heaven? No. The path of life now, when you're walking the path of Jesus, Son of God, walking by the Spirit, you make known to me the path of life. Walking by the Spirit, you come into his presence. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Joy that the world can't touch. I could get a cancer diagnosis. I hope I don't, but I could. But this life isn't, I mean, there's joy in it. You know what I'm saying? There's joy in this life, but my true joy is in the presence of God. And that's why we have people on their deathbed, people in years past who have been burned at stake, and they're praising God. Why is that? Well, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is what the fruit of the Spirit, this is what this is about, whether it's love, joy, peace, all of these, the things that God does, they're not the things that are conceived in our minds or the things that are brought about by our human effort. But all of these things are the work of God. He offers them all to each of us, freely offered to each of us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word of truth. Thank you that I've communicated that, Lord. Stumbled around a little bit, but thank you that we've communicated the direction, the joy, the wonderful, wonderful place of walking by the Spirit of God and the path of life, the things that you bring to the person who bows before you and fully surrenders in love and trust. How we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.